We're speaking about the subject of angels, the angels of God, and how that subject relates to us human beings here on the earth. The first scripture we're going to read is from Exodus chapter 23, and we start reading in verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that which I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Martin says, or I will afflict them that afflict thee. Verse 23, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. He will bring you into the place which I have prepared. The word of God and the Spirit of God leads us into the place which God has prepared for us. Beware of him, or be aware of him, we could say, and obey his voice. The Spirit of God has a voice. He speaks to us, and he leads us. Now, people say, oh, if I could only hear the voice of God. Well, the Bible says that his sheep knows his voice. If you have never heard the voice of God, you probably have never received Jesus as your Savior. But as you receive Jesus as your Savior, confess your sins, accept him as your Savior into your heart, and you confess with your mouth what you believe, namely that Jesus is Lord, that he took your sin upon the cross, upon himself, he took the curse, and now by faith in him you are free from slavery to Satan, and you will hear his voice. You will hear his voice. Many times the reason people don't realize they hear the voice of God, because a lot of times when God speaks, he says things we don't really want to hear. He will lead us in all truth. But as we submit ourselves to his word, as we submit ourselves to his Spirit, we can walk led by the Spirit of God. We can hear the voice of the angel of God. We can hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Be aware of him. It's such a blessing. So many people are aware of the devil all the time. They'll always see demons, and they always see the works of the devil. But the Bible admonishes us neither give place to the devil. In Ephesians 4:7, it says, neither give place to the devil. Hallelujah. But here it says, be aware of the angel of the Lord. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. So we don't give place to the devil. We don't look for demons. We don't look for evil. We don't look for the devil. We're looking for angels. Beware of angels. And this was this message all about, to teach you how to beware of the angels of God and how to beware of the Spirit of God, because they are carriers of God's Spirit. Now, the Holy Ghost also has a spiritual body. And, of course, the angels, they are all charged up and subject to the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of the Father, which is the Spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful subject. Be aware of him, obey his voice. I discovered if we can hear God in our tithing, if we can hear God in our giving, if we can hear God in our prayers, in our fastings, if we can hear God in the little things in the everyday life, and being saying a kind word or doing something that the Lord will impress upon us to do, some might seem minor in the context that it appears, but in God's eyes it's major. As we obey God in the small things, we will hear God in the big things. If we cannot hear God in the small things, we will never hear God in the big things. Thessalonians 5:19. Quench or resist not the Spirit. Provoke not the Spirit. Many people that don't understand to have proper respect for the things of the Spirit of God. He's a Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't have much respect for the Holy Spirit. So they, in the presence of the Holy Ghost, in the presence of the anointing of God, they lied, and they were told that they had lied to man, not to man, but to God, and therefore their life was removed from them. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is holy, and God wants us to reverence God and reverence His Spirit. Acts 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Or it says in Mark, to deceive the Holy Ghost, to keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. The same thing we see happen later on to his wife as well. How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? To tempt, or to provoke, or to deceive, or to quench, or to resist. In other words, the Holy Spirit is holy. We are not God is very protective of His Spirit. The Father is very protective. Jesus said, you can speak against the Son, and it shall be forgiven you. You can come against the Father, and it will be forgiven you. But do not come against the Spirit, because it will never be forgiven you. The teachers of the law, they criticized Jesus, and they said, when the demons were coming out, they said, well, this guy, he's casting out those demons. He's casting him out by the Lord of the flies, or Beelzebub. And then Jesus answered them and said that they have to be careful not to speak against the Holy Ghost, or because sinning against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven. Sinning against the Son, sinning against the Father, yes, but not sinning against the Holy Spirit. And praise the Lord. So it's so important that we remember to show reverence to the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees heard it, said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. We're reading from Matthew 12, and this is verse 24. I'm going to 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts. In other words, He discerned their thoughts by the word of knowledge. He knew their thoughts. It's important that God, that we have the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are in the Spirit. God wants us to have the Spirit and have the gifts of the Spirit so we can know the thoughts of man when it's necessary for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the ministry. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Wow, that is a powerful scripture. You know, the devil comes sometimes and he tells people, you have sinned against the Holy Ghost and there's no hope for you. You did this and you did that. Let me tell you, a sign of somebody that sinned against the Holy Ghost, a sure sign, is that they don't feel anything. They don't care at all. They don't feel any conviction. They don't feel any need for repentance. They don't feel that they've done anything wrong. They just feel everything is fine. and they don't really need God. They are doing just fine. Of course, many sinners are in that predicament. But I'm talking about a Christian that loves God and serves God and makes a mistake has not sinned against the Holy Ghost. As long as you, if you feel any kind of grief, any kind of remorse against about your sin, you have not sinned against the Holy Ghost. So don't worry about sinning against the Holy Ghost. There are few people that sin against the Holy Ghost, and the sign is that they have no remorse, they have absolutely no conviction. And the Bible talks about one man that did that, and his heart turned to stone, and shortly thereafter he died. But we're talking about the importance of being aware of the angel of God, being aware of the Holy Ghost, and not provoke him, not resist him, not quench him, not lie in his presence or to his face, like Ananias and Sapphira did when they came and gave a false testimony where the Spirit of God was in charge, and therefore had to suffer the consequences, devastating consequences. They did sin against the Holy Ghost, and their spirit was removed from them instantly. For he will not pardon your transgression. It is how holy the Holy Spirit is. There is no forgiveness for sin against the Holy Spirit. For my name is in him. Now, the angels that operate, the good angels, the angels of God, they operate in the name of the Father, they operate in the name of the Son, they operate in the name of the Holy Ghost. They are servants. And they are activated as we yield to the Word of God, and as we speak the Word of God, they go forth and they cause things to happen. Practical applications, when it comes to money, for instance, the devil might hold back your money. You have been obedient in your tithing and your giving. You want to serve God, yet it seems like you can't make ends meet. What the Lord leads me to do is to bind the devil and to command angels to go forth and cause the money to come. So many times money has come except nobody knew about the need. Nobody had heard about it, but God spoke by his angel to people, and money was released because there was a need for the sake of the kingdom. The Lord is concerned. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, which is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We seek the kingdom, and then we see in Corinthians that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is the Spirit. It comes through the Spirit of God. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of God has come. In the English, James says, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The Spanish Bible says, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God comes through the anointing of God. The angels are carriers of the anointing of God. What an exciting truth to know. What an exciting subject to talk about. The Holy Ghost will not pardon transgression against him, for my name is in him. Remember, as Jesus speaks about the Comforter, he speaks about the Holy Spirit that will come. And he speaks about that it's better that I leave, because if I didn't leave, then the Holy Ghost could not come. And he also says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, whosoever sins ye shall remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye shall retain, they are retained. The Holy Spirit gives us authority to remit sin or retain sin. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, and then he says that my name is in him, the Spirit of truth. He shall glorify me. Howbeit, the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. I'm reading from John 16:13. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Spirit of God reveals to us the future things. Hallelujah. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me, of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. In chapter 15 it says, but verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. This is the ministry of the Spirit of God. We are reading now from verse 26. But the Comfort, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. There you have it. In my name. Jesus, it's the Spirit of Jesus. He has the name of Jesus. In other words, it's Jesus' Spirit. He will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit was promised. We can also read it so wonderful. Let's read another few verses, chapter 14, verse 16. I start, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So we can see the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that leads us out of bondage, leads us to repentance. He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We were there right now, and it says, when he's come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So that ministry of the Holy Ghost draws us to Jesus. It's through the angels we are drawn to Jesus. We're back in Exodus 23:22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto the enemies and an adversary unto the adversaries, or I will afflict them that afflict thee. As we walk in fellowship with the angels, and as we walk filled with the Spirit of God, the people that try to afflict us, they feel more afflicted because the light afflicts them. The light exposes their sin. The light shows them what is really in their heart. Be not overcome of evil, the Bible says, but overcome evil with good. We overcome evil with good by being filled with light, and the darkness flees. We don't have to fight the darkness. We just walk in the light, and the darkness will flee because we are carriers of light.